Guitarathon is the greatest guitar sale on earth, and it's happening now. Get massive savings on a huge selection of electric and acoustic guitars, basses, amps, pedals, and other accessories. Get select Ernie Ball strings, 3 for $10. Save $100 on a Fender Special Edition Strat, or get a Yamaha acoustic for just $199. Plus, get special financing on select major brands. Don't miss these incredible deals. Available online and in-store, now through November 1st. Guitarathon, only at Guitar Center. Find your sound.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of the Locked On Clippers podcast. I'm your host, Lucas Han, and today is Friday, July 14th, 2017. We're going to talk a little bit today about the Clippers Summer League, and basically it's wrapping up today against the Golden State Warriors. It'll be their last game. They also lost yesterday to the Miami Heat in a playoff game that could have potentially extended their summer season, but instead they're left with today's single consolation game. We'll also talk a little bit about where the Clippers are left with free agency closing in and if they can potentially keep Luke and Mbamute. So let's get started with some summer league talk. And I know it's not the most exciting thing in the world, and it's definitely not as exciting as free agency that will impact the product that we see on the court for 82 games next season plus the playoffs. But it's still fun, I think, as long as you don't take it too seriously, to look at these prospects in summer league. And at the end of the day, it's basketball. You know, it's players on the court, and you're cheering for one team over another. And you know, there would be no off season if there wasn't a season, in a sense. And while these games don't matter as much as real Clippers games do, it's still fun for me to watch basketball. I wish there were more of these games. I wish we didn't have to go 2 months without any basketball or any prospects or anything to talk about. But so, yesterday the Clippers fall to the Miami Heat. And, you know, Miami got really hot from three. They had a couple undrafted guards totally explode. But really, we saw some things reinforced, some of the issues with the Clippers prospects reinforced in yesterday's game. Juwan Evans, while he played, you know, it's not like he played horribly, had as many turnovers as assists and was just 2 of 6 shooting. He gets himself into some tough spots on the court. His quickness allows him to penetrate, but his lack of size, sometimes that penetration leads him to a bad spot that ends in a turnover or a very contested missed shot. Kendall Marshall, the Clippers' other point guard, who's available and healthy with David Michener being injured, was just as inconsistent in this game. He had plenty of solid plays. He had some good reads and good passes, some very nifty drives and finishes, some nice pull-up mid-range jumpers, but ultimately he was, you know, he had a lot of plays where there's just bad turnovers, flustered underneath defensive pressure and just throwing the ball away. And I don't like to take too much stock into summer league performances, but the theme that we've seen in the several games that we've seen Kendall Marshall in, where when the game is free flowing, he's able to find open guys and distribute the ball very well. But when the game is maybe a little slowed down or in the half court and he's playing against a long-armed defender who's putting pressure on him, he gets flustered and he turns the ball over a lot. And so I'm actually probably a little lower on Marshall now than I was at the beginning of the summer league, especially after his first game against the Lakers, where he was pretty phenomenal up until just the closing minutes where he struggled. But after seeing that struggle against pressure and length on the defensive end continue over the week, if that's going to bother him at this level, it makes me really concerned about at the NBA level. And so maybe it's for the best that the Clippers signed Juwan Evans to their 15-man roster, which essentially means that there's no room for Kendall Marshall on the 15-man roster, and he's not eligible for a two-way contract because he has 4 years of NBA experience. So he could be, you know, he could be invited to, in fact, I expect he will be invited to another team's training camp and have an opportunity to make a roster, but it seems like it won't be with the Clippers. Sindarius Thornwell, we saw more of the same. Aggressive going to the rim, good defender, but not that big, not big enough to be a player who can't shoot, and his shot is struggling quite a bit with the extended range and the extended length of NBA defenses. So, again, it's just a few weeks after the draft, so I'm not really going to lambast Thornwell for not having improved his shot in the last 3 weeks, but that's definitely what he needs to work on going forward. And then for Bryce Johnson, who's probably the most important Clipper prospect here, the only first-round pick by the Clippers present at this summer league, he just seems disinterested and kind of lazy, and I'm not sure. You know, I want to say it's because it's summer league and he knows he's too good for summer league and he's kind of half-heartedly out there, but I'm also kind of worried that he just has a low motor, that he's just kind of casually, lazily athletic. And we see it, I think, maybe more pronounced than in any other spot on pick and roll defense, where he doesn't get down into a stance. He doesn't step up and take away the jump shot, especially with Miami. They had this guy, Justin Robinson, a 5'8 point guard, coming off of screens and shooting jumpers. And Bryce Johnson, this 6'10 athletic NBA first round draft pick, wasn't coming out to contest the shot. He wasn't trying to contain him on the perimeter. We see DeAndre Jordan do this against Steph Curry. And no, he doesn't. It's not like he stops him every time, but these are the kinds of plays you have to be able to contain as a mobile big man in the NBA guarding the pick and roll. So if Bryce was really struggling to do that against 5'8 Justin Robinson, who's going to be in the D League next year, then it's hard to imagine him being able to play NBA minutes on the defensive end of the floor. Now, the Clippers will play their last summer league game today against the Golden State Warriors. It's just a consolation game, so there's nothing on the line. But I expect that they'll continue their pattern, which has been to fully rotate their lineup. Miami, both in their first-round playoff game and yesterday, only played a 10-man rotation. The Clippers yesterday played everyone but the injured David Michonneau. I expect that while they might not play everyone, they'll play a lot of people. They'll spread the minutes around a lot and not necessarily play to win, because yesterday they certainly, while they may have played to win, the players on the court, Sam Cassell did not coach to win. He coached to get exposure for the players on the team. Buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated, but there's a better, simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to live events. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and with just a few taps, I can instantly find seats. SeatGeek is designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to immediately help you identify the best seats to fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. Best of all, my listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code LONBA today. That's promo code LONBA for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Now, moving on into the later stages of the Clippers offseason, we see them right now, presently, sitting with 14 players under contract and just over the luxury tax line. But included in those 14 players under contract are the non-guaranteed salaries of DeAndre Liggins and Kyle Wiltshire. Both of these players have cap hits for greater than the league minimum, which means that if the Clippers were to cut both of them and sign two players to minimum salary deals to replace them, the Clippers would be able to effectively avoid the luxury tax this season with a 14-man roster and about $300,000 of wiggle room during the season, which they can use to sign 10-day contracts or pick up a guy, you know, in buyout season after the trade deadline, that sort of thing. But this is a way for them to avoid the luxury tax, which will help not only save, you know, a little bit of money this year, but potentially save a lot of money long term if this roster becomes to get incredibly expensive again, as it was when Chris Paul was on the team. The Clippers could be facing what's called the repeater tax, where if you're a tax-paying team multiple years in a row, your tax rate increases. It's something that the Golden State Warriors are going to run in with their current roster. The Clippers could potentially avoid it, or at least put it off, if they can dip below the tax line this season. So it wouldn't be shocking for them to at least try to do that, which would mean cutting DeAndre Liggins and Kyle Wiltshire and signing two more minimum salary players. Now, who do they sign? That, you know, that's the big next question. You have these two slots. Who do you sign? Well, Sindarius Thornwell is one obvious candidate. The Clippers just drafted him out of the second round. They could sign him to the roster, or they could sign him to a two-way contract to play in the NBA D League. Another candidate that I know fans are very excited about is Jameel Wilson, who I don't think I talked about in the Summer League portion of the show, but he's been one of the most impressive players in the Summer League, a real, you know, Summer League hero, as I call them, someone who comes out of nowhere but has a great Summer League. He's shot 22 of 27 from the field in four games, which is both amazing and scarily unsustainable, because you have to ask yourself, obviously he's not going to shoot above 80% from the field for a full NBA season. So where does he really fall? It's hard to know from four games and 27 shots. Now, I did look into his background a little bit because he had been playing so well for the Clippers in the Summer League, and it looked like he's actually coming off of a very good year in Europe, so it wouldn't shock me that NBA teams actually find him worthy of a two-way contract or a training camp invite based on that and not based on his Summer League play. So, you know, the Summer League, getting hot in Summer League is great, but because of his overall body of work, he seems seasoned. I think that he's a guy who the Clippers could consider, but he also could be, because as a Summer League player, he's essentially still a free agent. He can take offers from any team, not just the Clippers. So pretty much anyone can swoop in and get him at any moment if they so choose. The Clippers could also turn to free agents. Now, if they're looking for help on the wing, Aaron Aflalo is still out there and could potentially be had for the minimum. Mike Dunleavy Jr. Is still out there. Gerald Henderson is still out there. Among other guys, KJ McDaniels, James Young are a couple more young and unheralded wing players. They could also look at big men, potentially bringing back Brandon Bass, looking at a guy like Willie Reed, who's likely to get paid but is still a free agent. The team was interested in Jeff Withey. The team was interested in Tiago Splitter. On the wing, they were also interested in Martell Webster. It's unclear how any of those deals could shake out. But I think the Clippers' top priority, if they can, will probably be to bring back Luke Mbamute, who we know that Doc Rivers really likes from the last 2 years where he started at small forward for the Clippers. And we know he's an elite defender. He's vastly improved on the offseason, or on the offensive end, in one full offseason between his first and second years with the Clippers. So it'd be really exciting to see what he could do between years two and three. His three-point percentage went up from 33% to 39%. He got much better at taking one dribble and cutting to the basket. And with a guy like Milos Teodosic running the show in Los Angeles, guys who cut effectively like Luke Mbamute and Sam Decker could find themselves on the receiving end of a lot of assists and getting a lot of easy buckets. Now, Luke Mbamute, with 9 years of experience, his minimum salary is $2.1 million. And if you sign him to a one-year minimum salary, his cap hit is only $800,000, which lets the Clippers stay underneath the hard cap. The problem is that $2.1 million is a huge underpay for Mbamute. He was due a player option of $2.3 million, which he declined in order to seek more money this summer. And the Clippers, with his early bird rights, can pay him up to around $8.5 million. Now, because of their hard cap situation, they don't have the room to give him that full $8.5 million. But if they freed up salary, they could, or if the Clippers were willing to venture into the luxury tax, they could pay him up to a little over $6.25 million and still stay underneath the hard cap, and that way give him more of a fair salary. But it seems to me like if the Clippers were willing to give Luke Mbamute $6 million, Luke Mbamute would be a Clipper already. So I think what's happening right now is that both sides are doing a little bit of the waiting game. The Clippers would much rather have Luke Mbamute than a guy like Gerald Henderson. So they're waiting for Luke Mbamute to hopefully cave and take that minimum deal. Luke Mbamute, not totally enamored by a minimum salary deal with the Clippers, is waiting to see if another team is willing to come along and give him a decent deal. Even if it's not a big deal, a 3-year, $12 million contract is much better than a 1-year, $2 million contract. It could be that if another team comes along and offers Luke some cash, the Clippers say, okay, fine, we'll pay the tax to keep you. At that point, I think Luke would like to return to the Clippers, although it should be noted that his role is going to shrink. With Danilo Gallinari coming aboard, there is no longer a full season starting role. Now, Blake Griffin and Gallinari both are known to miss time due to injuries, so it's entirely possible that Luke Mbamute could still get starts, but he won't. His normal role when the team is healthy will not be to start 82 games as it has been. Instead, he'll compete for second unit minutes with young guys like Sam Dekker and Bryce Johnson. Now, he should be able to beat out both of those guys for a rotation spot, but it's a little bit of a different environment than last season when he came back to what was essentially a guaranteed starting role with how the roster was made up. So, if the Clippers and Luke Mbamute are playing the waiting game, there's not a whole lot for us to do except play the waiting game as well, wait and see where Luke Mbamute ends up, and how much money he ends up making. Adrian Wojnarowski reported that the Clippers are still engaged with Luke Mbamute, but there are limitations on how far they can go financially, and what he's alluding to, or at least what his sources are alluding to when they talk to him, is the luxury tax situation that I described. So we'll see. Are the Clippers willing to pay the tax for Luke Mbamute? Is Luke Mbamute willing to come for the minimum? I think that's what the offseason is hinging on right now. I do think the Clippers will sign Sendarius Thornwell, just like they signed Juwan Evans. So that will be 13 players. And then the 14th player will come down to, do they keep Luke Mbamute? Do they go sign another veteran? Do they go with a guy like Jameel Wilson from Summer League? And then, of course, the Clippers will have their two-way contracts to worry about, where they have two-way contracts. So two players who will be able to go back and forth between the Los Angeles Clippers and the Agua Caliente Clippers. And it's unclear who they'll sign to those spots as well. Possibly a big man like Isaiah Hicks, who currently has a non-guaranteed deal with the Clippers and is likely to be released during training camp. He could be re-signed to a two-way deal, which would allow the Clippers to pull him up if they need him for injury depth, but largely keep him down in the D-League, developing as an undrafted free agent. So that's going to do it for today's episode. The Clippers game against the Warriors today is at 3:30 Pacific time. It should be on NBA TV, but that hasn't been officially announced yet, but it should be on NBA TV. It'll be their last game in the Summer League, and then next week, on Monday, we'll be able to look, hopefully we'll get some resolution on the last couple roster spots over the weekend and start looking back on the offseason and the big picture of what the Clippers' vision was and what they accomplished, as well as looking forward to what they'll be able to do next season with what they've put together. So as always, if you have any comments, questions, or feedback, be sure to hit me up on Twitter at LucasJHan or email me lhan.clipsnation@gmail.com. Make sure you check out the Clips Nation blog for all the latest Clippers news, rumors, and analysis. And follow along on Twitter at ClipsNationSBN. Thanks for listening, guys. This is Lucas Han signing off for Locked On Clippers.